95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, Monday is Memorial Day, and it's great weather outside if you don't mind the 90-degree heat. A lot of you are going to be grilling, and probably hamburgers are going to be on the menu. So I thought it interesting about the history of the hamburger. So I brought in a guest, Christopher Carosa. He is the author of Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Help Crack the Case of the American's Greatest Culinary Mystery. And so, Christopher, welcome to Atlanta Living.
Hey, Belinda, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us for a bit on Atlanta Living.
Thanks for having me.
So you had this big weight on your shoulders. Like, where did the hamburger originally come from?
Sure. I had this weight on my shoulders for probably 30 or more years. I stumbled upon the story when I was a senior in college, and I found out that there was a story that said the hamburger was invented at the Erie County Fair outside of Buffalo, New York. Now, I'd never heard of the story. I lived where that fair was, but I was excited and immediately told one of my classmates, who was from New Haven, Connecticut, and he shot back and said, no, the hamburger was invented in New Haven, Connecticut. And he promptly took me to Louie's Lunch, the place that was heralded for inventing the hamburger. And I pretty much ignored it for, like I said, about 30 years. I wrote a book, and I was on a book tour, not this book, another book. And this was just a sidelight story in the book. And it turned out a lot of people were really interested in to know the real story. And that's why I wrote Hamburger Dreams.
Okay, did it start out now you've got piqued my interest. Did it start out a sandwich? Did it start out kind of a mistake that was a good mistake? You got to tell us what really happened.
Well, in three of the four different origin stories, and I talk about all four of them in the book, three out of the four of them, it was a mother of invention. It was a necessity. It just happened by accident because somebody wanted to eat a sandwich, and the best available thing was ground beef, and that's mm-hmm. what they used.
Oh, wow. So they started with ground beef, what we're using.
Right, right. And in fact, the story that looks like it's the most correct story, which turns out to be the one from outside of Buffalo, it was at the Erie County Fair. The vendors, Frank and John Menchus, they were concessionaires for circuses and fairs, and they sold a very popular pork sausage sandwich. They ran out of meat, went to the butcher. It was late in the fair. It was very hot out. The butcher didn't want to slaughter a pig because, you know, he wasn't going to sell enough of it, and there was no refrigeration back in those days. So he gave them ground beef instead.
Okay, so he thought he was cutting corners here, but it became a national phenomenon.
Yes, it did. Now, the trick here is that all these stories, there's no contemporary report that says, hey, look, today the hamburger was invented, because nobody really thought it was a big deal at the time. But probably within two decades, it did become a big deal. By the end of the 1890s, there were actually complaints from restaurateurs in Indiana that these street vendors who were selling hamburgers were disrupting their businesses, and they want city council to outlaw them.
It's called competition, folks. Get with it.
Yeah, that's right.
So why is it such a mystery? Why are so many people have so many different stories of how it came to be?
Well, again, because there was no contemporary documentation that said, hey, this is where and when the hamburger was invented, we're left with stories that people told. In almost all cases, the stories were told decades later, sometimes as much as 60 or 70 years later.
Wow.
So not only do we have a story that's coming out later, but they're coming from second and third hand. There were a couple of the two 1885 stories were actually told by the people who did them. So that is a little bit more credibility. And it turns out that the later stories, the one from 1900, which is the New Haven story, and the 1904 story, which is the St. Louis World's Fair, those are definitely out because they were selling hamburgers. You can read newspapers in the 1890s about how to make hamburgers. So definitely, if the newspapers are telling you how to make them, those two places didn't invent them.
Right. Okay, so what year can we kind of trace back to have the first one?
I can give you not only a year, but an exact date.
Oh, wow.
The exact date. Well, actually, let me tell you this first. Do you know that May 28th is National Hamburger Day?
Yes, it is. That's Tuesday,
it is.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's not the date that I found out. The
okay.
date that I found out was September 18th, 1885. And the reason why I was able to pinpoint the date was because the story talked about the weather. And I was able to go back to newspaper articles from that date during
wow.
the Erie County Fair, those days when the fair was occurring, and I was able to find the weather that coincided with what the story said. There's some other facts that support it, and I write about it in the book, so you can see why I made these conclusions. But that's the date, September 18th, 1885. Do you know what day September 18th is?
No.
It's National Cheeseburger Day.
No! Okay.
So they kind of got it wrong, but hey, close enough.
Close enough. Okay, so how was it served back in those days?
Oh, that's a great question. And a lot of people think of the hamburger as always having been served on a bun. But in all the stories, pretty much the hamburger was served on bread, some form of bread. Could be toast. The New Haven story was served on toast.
Mm-hmm.
The other stories, it was more just plain bread or sort of like a wedge. You know how you would cut a roll, a slice out of a loaf of bread, and then you'd cut it in half to make a wedge?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't cut it into two separate slices. You'd make a V shape out of the bread and put the hamburger in there. There are stories, newspaper articles, I think from 1894, that tells how they did this, really describes it in detail, but with a street vendor doing it in San Francisco, California. So you can really see what they were doing. And the Menchus brothers said the same thing. This is how we serve the bread. The buns didn't really come until later.
Wow, that is amazing. And it's become a worldwide phenomenon, one of the, you know, you can almost give it its own food group.
Yeah, there's so many different kinds of hamburgers out there. Everybody asks me, well, what was served on the first hamburger? Pretty much nothing. I mean, you had condiments. Louis Lunch in New Haven serves it without ketchup. So if you put ketchup on it, it's not a real hamburger.
Oh, my gosh. But how do you choke it down without ketchup?
Well, I mean, everybody, the Menchus brothers did serve condiments, but what they did, since no one had really cooked it this way before, they kept burning it, either burning the outside and leaving the inside raw. So in order to cook the inside, they put coffee beans in it. So the coffee beans would steam cook the inside, but it tasted lousy.
Oh, I'm
sure. So they added brown sugar and a bunch of other ingredients, and that's really what the first hamburger tasted like.
So it had a sweet tone to it.
A little bit, yeah. And you want to know something amazing? The family found the recipe in 1991, tucked away in the corner of an old china hutch.
Oh, my gosh.
And now they're selling that. They kept the recipe secret. I tried to get that from
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
But they actually sell the hamburgers. They have a restaurant in Akron, Ohio, and they sell those hamburgers, along with 49 other varieties.
Yeah,
so you have a lot of choices.
I would really like to taste the first hamburger to see if I even liked it or how much it has evolved.
I'm actually encouraging the family. They should do something like that because a lot of people do want to taste it. They want to see how it tastes different from today.
I think that recipe needs to be in the Smithsonian.
Next time I see them, I'll make that suggestion. I think that's a great suggestion.
So, obviously, the hamburger has evolved over the years, and through your book, you've seen some crazy adaptations to the hamburger. What is the craziest that you've come across?
Well, there's new ones every day. Earlier this week, I was in Syracuse, New York, judging the Best Burger in New York contest.
Ooh.
And there were a lot of good burgers, really good burgers. There was one that had a fried egg on it and
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of other stuff. It was all a mixture of things. And what I found out, there's this tradition in Syracuse, New York, I didn't know about, and that is you put meat on top of the hamburger. So there's roast beef or barbecued beef, and we have those kind of hamburgers too. But there's lots and lots of different kinds of hamburgers. My favorite is a bruschetta burger. A bruschetta burger is made with Italian spices, and the condiments that's put on top is almost like a bruschetta salad dressing, the same sort of dressing you put on bruschetta bread. My mouth is watering just telling you.
Mouth is watering. Okay, Chris, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the first hamburger and how it came to be and some other titles that you have researched. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And it's Memorial Day weekend, so stop and take a moment to remember those who have given their lives for your freedom. And just remember what the reason for this holiday actually is. It's not for a big sale at your local big box store. It's 24 minutes after 2 o'clock, 89 degrees. If you're going to be outside, take a lot of water and take WSB with you. And we are speaking with Chris Carosa. He's the author of The Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Help Crack the Case of the America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. And Chris, what made you decide to write this book? I'm so intrigued because you've written other books called A Pizza, The Action. You've done other really in-depth discoveries of things that we love.
Yeah, I'll say I write two kinds of books. I'm normally a reporter and columnist in the retirement financial industry. So I write books about that and, you know, interview people there. That's where most of my writing is. But the fundraising is mostly about Western New York or things that are revolving around Western New York. And several years ago, I wrote a book called 50 Hidden Gems of Greater Western New York, which include this story. It also included a story about my time working in a pizza stand at the Erie County Fair, which became that book, A Pizza, The Action. Everything I ever learned about business, I learned by working in a pizza stand at the Erie County Fair. Long subtitle there. And, you know, here's something that's kind of relevant. One of the things that I wrote about in 50 Hidden Gems was about the first Decoration Day, which occurred in 1866 in Waterloo, New York, right after the Civil War. And there's a lot of people who claim to be the origins of Memorial Day, and there's some truth to that, just because it's a great idea and everybody could come up with it at the same time. So, you know, I'm not trying to diss anybody else who makes the claim, but in the late 1960s, Lyndon Johnson declared Waterloo as the official origin place of Memorial Day. And that story is a little bit like the hamburger story, too, because there's a lot of different places that explain where the hamburger goes. And the thing that motivated me, and if you read the book, I think this will really come out, is I look at it almost from, like, the point of view of an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
And you see from the subtitle, I taught classic crime-solving techniques. I mean, I did things like Sherlock Holmes did.
Well, I think
impossible.
Yeah, where they were talking about the weather that day, and then you going back to the city and looking up what the weather would have been during that time, that's pretty investigative reporting.
Well, I found out something else about that day. Now, the butcher said he wasn't going to slaughter the pig because it was hot that day, and it was abnormally hot. But I think there was a more important reason for him not to do it, and this I found out by looking at the contemporary newspapers. That year, there was a swine epidemic that wiped out two-thirds of the pigs in western New York. So there weren't a lot of pigs to slaughter, and you weren't going to do it if it was going to end up being wasted. So, but, you know, think of it from the butcher's point of view.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, oh, I don't want to sell you the pig because there's a disease going around.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's not good for sale.
And look, from that little decision that the butcher made, look what has happened across the world. And now we celebrate on Memorial Day with our feast on the grill, the hamburger.
So, that's right.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris Carosa, for joining us on the line. The Hamburger Dreams, you can pick it up in your local bookstore. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the Beer Bus, followed by...
Please remember me.
Thank you, Chris. And WSB listeners have been leaving personal memorials for family members lost in battle this Memorial Day weekend. You can do the same using the open mic feature on WSB Radio app. We'll continue to honor Memorial Day with you all weekend on WSB Radio. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, born out of a love for beer, the city of Atlanta, and the fine breweries that we have in this city, we have the Atlanta Beer Bus. And it was born with the help of Travis Arians. And he's in the studio with me today. And Travis, I pass by the Beer Bus every day, twice a day, actually. And it just kind of makes me smile because I'm like, a beer bus, what could be better? Because A, you're driving people around to different breweries, and B, you're getting these people off the road.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me. It's the best part of what we do is we get to let people enjoy different breweries and try things they wouldn't have done before, and nobody has to be a DD.
So how did you come up with this idea? What is your background?
Well, sure, yeah. A couple of years ago, I took a trip to Asheville, North Carolina, and those that have been there know they have a ton of breweries in a very small, concentrated area, and there are companies online that will provide walking maps, free to the public. You just tells you how to get from one to another and enjoy the most out of a day. In Atlanta, we can't exactly walk, but we do have a good concentration on the west side of town. And we want to be able to provide a service to get people from point A to point B and maybe give them some information along the way to help them along in their beer journey. I was surprised at how many people don't even know about more than half of the breweries that are here.
Well, so many have opened in the last 2 years that it's amazing that the city of Atlanta has the amount of craft breweries that we do, and they're just award-winning brew pubs everywhere on every street corner. And like you said, the west side is really populated, a lot of them.
Absolutely. And speaking of new ones, we've got one on the west side, Steady Hand, that's about to open, and we've already talked to them, and it's right on our route already, of course, because that's where all the breweries live.
Okay, tell me, if I'm interested in the beer bus, tell me how this works. What do I do?
Okay, so you pick a brewery of your choice off of the list of our stops.
Say, Monday Night Brewery.
Okay, so great. You start at Monday Night Brewery. Our hours are 4 to 10 on Fridays, 12 to 10 on Saturdays, and 1 to 6 on Sundays. And within half an hour of you showing up, you'll see one of our bus. We've actually got our beer nerds that'll walk around with a sign saying beer bus leaving soon. So you know that the bus is there, and if you want to get on, you get on right then, or you can wait another 20, 30 minutes for the next one. You hop right on. If it's your first time that day, you pay $15. We give you a wristband, and it's good all day. You can hop on and hop off at any brewery you want as many times as you want all day.
So you can do one brewery?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do how many? How many are on your stop?
So there's 10 total stops on this route, and that's 7 breweries, a distillery, a cidery, and a MARTA station.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Atlanta hosts, the city of Atlanta is known as one of the great distilleries in the city. So tell us about that.
So, yeah, American Spirit Works over by Sweetwater Brewing on Armor Drive is an amazing distillery.
And it's a great space.
It's such a gorgeous space. They have amazing deals. They do $5 old fashions on Fridays.
Oh, really?
Yep. And they are one of 3 distilleries in the country that has an inverted distilling process. And
now,
so
what does that mean?
I wish I knew all the details on that. They tried to explain it to me, and so far over my head, but it's so great.
I'm sure on the tour they explain everything.
Yeah, I don't want to give away all their secrets before you go there, but they've got some amazing stuff there. Fiddler is their flagship, and yeah, it's a really great time.
It's such a wonderful space, and a lot of people rent that area out for special occasions and different special events. Mm-hmm. You can rent that out. Okay, so we have a cider brewery.
Yep, Urban Tree Cidery on Howell Mill. And for those people that are thinking, oh, sweet cider, I'm not really into that.
That's not my thing.
Right. So
was me until I tried it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm the same way, and I'll be the first one to admit it. So one of my favorite ciders over there is their Sweet Heat. So it's got a habanero and ginger, so it's got a little spice on the end, and as well as a sweet. So it's really good. Plus, because they're cider and made from apples, they're more considered a winery than a brewery. So they can do a full liquor bar. So they've got liquor, they've got local craft beers. So they've got something for everybody. They make cocktails with their ciders. They do a lot of really cool, interesting stuff. And it's majority owned by women.
I didn't know that. And if I'm not mistaken, they grow a lot of their own apples that they produce.
All of them.
All of them.
Yep. Yeah. They own their own orchard. So it's literally farm to table in this sense.
That's incredible. And that's one of the stops. So tell us the other stops that the breweries that you stop at.
Okay. So we started with Monday night. So the next one would have been Urban Tree. So there's that. And then from there we go to Second Self Brewing. And then from there it's Scofflaw, then Red Brick, then ASW, American Spirit Works, Sweetwater, Orpheus Brewing, Park Tavern, and the MARTA Station.
So people say, well, if you've seen one brewery, you've seen them all. What do you say to that?
So I say if you've seen a brewery tour, a traditional brewery tour, you go in, you see the tanks. Yeah, they're not that much different. People will tell you a little bit about their process that's different, that differentiates them. But realistically, when you get down to the nuts and bolts, it's almost the same. So what we do is we take that out and we tell you those little tidbits, like we were just talking about Urban Tree or Monday Night, how they were started in a garage because on Bible study Monday nights.
Yeah.
And those are the things we tell you on the bus before you get there so that you don't need to go look at the tanks to find out all the cool things about each brewery. Sweetwater, people say they know Sweetwater, but most people don't know they have their Woodlands project right down the street, which does all their R&D, all their experimental stuff. So that's almost attached to their current facility, and it's a gorgeous space too. I mean, they do a lot of private events there.
So this is a great service, and as far as I know, you're the only company doing a beer bus tour.
We're doing our tour. Our route is different than everybody else's. There are three other companies that I can think of that do a traditional pick you up at one place, take the whole group to place number one, everybody takes the tour, everybody does the same sampling, and then you all get on the bus together and you go. And then we take you back to the beginning when you're done. With us, we're not telling you how long to stay at each location. We're not telling you what to drink at each location. And we're not telling you which locations to go to. You get to choose. I mean, it really is a choose your own adventure for beer.
So it's like a trolley.
Yeah.
For beer lovers.
Yeah, it's Beer Marta.
Beer Marta. I love it. So what have your patrons, because you've only been open for 6 weeks.
Right.
So what are your customers saying about the service?
They absolutely love it. And the beer nerds that I was talking about before, they say that is worth the $15 in and of itself. Having somebody on the bus that can not only tell you information about the next stop and entice you to get off somewhere you might not have thought you were going to, but also lead you in the direction of a particular beer for your tastes. So these guys have gone to all of these locations. They've tried basically everything on the menu, and they really, truly are beer nerds. They know so much about it that they can make recommendations just from what you've liked in the past at other places.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a lot of knowledge that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Right.
Now, what if I have a group of girls or a guy's night out and we want to rent, say, the whole bus? What's the capacity of the bus?
So the buses hold 14 plus the driver. And right now, our charter days are only Thursdays and Wednesdays, if we really needed to, because Friday, Saturday, Sunday is when we run, and we got to have all our buses. But Thursdays and Wednesdays are the days when most of the breweries are open. A lot of people were emailing or calling us about Memorial Day, but there were only two or three breweries open, so it doesn't really give you the full experience that we provide. So it wouldn't have made sense. It wouldn't have been a best customer experience.
Right. That makes total sense. Well, what are the breweries saying about your service?
They love it. And I was honestly nervous that they were going to think we were taking customers from them, but they get that, yes, if we take 5 or 10 people right now, there are 5 or 10 people from 8 other locations right behind that coming in to try new stuff that are ready to spend money.
Well, I know I live down the street from Scofflaw.
Okay.
And that place is packed all the time. So these are very popular breweries that are on your tour, that have very popular beers that you would want to try, and award-winning beers.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, so Travis, this sounds like such a fun thing for people to do. People of drinking age, of course. Yeah. So how do we get in touch with you?
All our information is on our website, atlantabeerbus.com, all spelled out. We even have an FAQ page so you can figure out what to expect of your experience with us. And on social media, we are at ATL Beer Bus on all the platforms.
So don't think I'll just drive myself from brewery to brewery. We're just getting samples. Leave it to the hands of the professionals. Stay off the roads. Contact the Atlanta Beer Bus. And Travis, this has been so fun. And I think a true asset to the city and something that's needed dearly to highlight the different craft breweries that we have in the city.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me in.
I can't wait to get a group of people and jump on the bus and hop on and hop off at my favorite breweries.
Let's do it.
All right. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. It is time for Breaking Chews. This is where we drill down on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, festivals, and chefs. I'm here with my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for Encore Magazine, and he's here to give us the scoop on Annie Quattrano's new restaurant.
Oh my gosh, yes. Are you a breakfast
freak? I love
breakfast. What is it about breakfast that just brings...
I can eat it any time of the day.
Just people's so much emotion is tied to breakfast. And so that being said... one of our favorite chefs, one of the greatest chefs in the universe,
the sweetest people,
Annie Quattrano, has a new breakfast place that just opened. It's at Ponce City Market, so it's not inside the food hall.
Okay.
It's actually faces out of the market onto North Avenue. It is called Pancake Social, and it's kind of like the diner of your dreams. It feels like a diner. There's white subway tiles, very clean. There's clocks all around. And this place is all about breakfast and not really like egg breakfast. They've got some egg stuff, but it's really about pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
They have nine kinds of pancakes, buttermilk pancakes. They do a sourdough waffle. They have a big pecan praline stack, which I had is unbelievable. Chocolate buckwheat stack. They have cottage cheese blintzes, which are amazing. They do a skillet Dutch baby pancake. If you ever had one of those, it's like dessert and breakfast.
Yeah.
And of course, even beignets. Everything is magnificent. They also have some savory stuff. They do a burger. I tried the falafel burger on a house-made English muffin.
Good.
So good. Smoked salmon bagels. I've got pictures of a lot of food that I've eaten from Pancake Social on my website, bitesandsights.net. Gorgeous coffees. They do juice blends and smoothies. But really just, you know, perfectly execution.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a great location right there, steps from the Beltline. So if you've been meaning, you know, this Memorial Day weekend, like, let's go do something. Check out Ponce City Market. Check out Pancake Social. Walk on the Beltline. I know it'll be a little hot, but gosh. Such a great addition to the neighborhood, and it's going to be tough to top for most breakfast people, the Pancake Social.
I can't wait to try it, and I would love to pop my head in and say hey to Annie.
Well, I don't know if you'll see her there, but because there may be a line, but absolutely get over there and try it as soon as you can.
Absolutely. Where can we find you during the week?
So my website is bitesandsights.net. I'll have pictures of Pancake Social and links how to get there and all that stuff. And then please follow me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest at Bites and Sights.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week, David. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.